Looking for podcasts to listen to? Check out our collection of shows on the Brothers Bear Network. First up, Brothers Bear Podcast, a comedy show where two brothers and their friend talk about everything from movies, music, and their love for everything geek. Or 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast, where you hop into our DeLorean and go back in time with a podcast that talks about the past, including pop culture, video games, random life stories, but mostly about the movies from our past. There's also Disney Plus Podcast, a show with four hosts talking about what's on Disney Plus. Each week, we'll watch something that's only on Disney Plus and review / discuss the movie or show. We'll also talk some Disney history, news, or related topics about Disney. And last, Monkey Monsters Podcast is now Monkey Monsters Midweek Podcast, a show about family life, relationships, movies, stories of our past, having kids, and arguing / debating over which is better, pancakes or French toast. All shows are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podbean. This is the Brothers Bear Network.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Everybody, welcome to a special edition of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. Today's episode is going to be a tribute episode. So a while back, like weeks ago, I saw this ad on Facebook. And on Facebook, it showed these t-shirts. It's all $9 t-shirts. I was like, all right, I'm like, get some more shirts, so why not? So I ordered these shirts. And the moment I placed the order, I get an email saying, thank you for your order. Due to COVID-19... your shirts, you'll be receiving them around Berta. And it was like, I think it showed like a week, like over a month before I would receive my shirts. I was like, the hell? So when I ended up getting my shirts, finally, I completely forgot. I get an email. I was like, your shirts have shipped. I was like, oh, all right, right on. And I ended up getting my shirts. I got them on Friday of last week, finally. So I was like, all right. These shirts were two shirts. One of them was the poster to the Lost Boys. The other one, it's made to look like the Brady Bunch. And it says the blood-sucking Brady Bunch. A line from freaking the movie The Lost Boys. So, I went to work today. Yesterday, Monday morning. And I'm like, I just threw on my Lost Boys shirt. It's brand new. I was like, all right, man. I want to wear it. You know, it's like. So I'm wearing my shirt. I'm going doing my deliveries. My very first customer, she sees my shirt and she's like, oh, that shirt's awesome. Oh, I love The Lost Boys, man. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, we just get in a conversation about my shirt. Well, not my shirt, but the movie, The Lost Boys. And we're all talking about it, having a good old time talking about it. So I was like, oh, cool. You know, she dug my shirt and, you know, we just had a conversation about the movie because The Lost Boys, it's an amazing freaking movie. I love The Lost Boys. So shortly after that, you know, I go, I'm doing my drives because I'm doing all my deliveries. And every now and again, when I hit red lights, I just, you know, open up Twitter just to see what the hell is trending or whatever, you know, see some news and entertainment news. Out of nowhere, I see someone post something and it says RIP Joe Schumacher. I was like, wait, what the hell? And right away I clicked it and I see that he had passed away. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, holy shit. And I'm like, out of all days, like I literally was just having a conversation about the movie The Lost Boys and, you know, Joe Schumacher. Because with Joe Schumacher, in which you'll be hearing it in this episode, I'll get to that right now. But with Joe Schumacher, when he came on board to make this movie, he would only do this movie if he can change the cast from little kids to teenagers. And because he thought it would just be more interesting and make the character sexy. And that so they agreed and they allowed him to do it because he wasn't originally supposed to direct this movie. This was also his third movie that he did. He did do like TV films, but like his first film was DC Cab. Then he did St. Elmo's Fire with the Brat Pack. Oddly enough, I never had any interest in watching that, but I have seen, you know, all the rest that have all the actors in them. You know, it's just like Saving Elmo's Fire, never just like, ah, you're like, yeah, I love the 80s, but that was one of those films growing up that no one I knew watched it. That's how I saw a lot of these 80s movies, like The Lost Boys. One of my brother's friends had an older sister, and she loved this movie. So we would watch this movie all the time when it on VHS when it came out. So that's how I was introduced to The Lost Boys. So I loved this movie growing up. I loved it a lot. Back to the Future is my favorite 80s movie of all time. But The Lost Boys stands up there as one of the tops. Like, honestly, it could be number two of top 80s films of all times for me. I mean, it's in the top five, honestly. I mean, it's one of the top vampire movies of all time. It's like, actually, it was number one for the longest time. Though, What We Do in the Shadows has since, you know, dethroned it. Because, come on, that movie's good. But if you've ever seen What We Do in the Shadows, they make a reference to The Lost Boys when they have the two people that they think they're virgins come over.
So this is my favorite trick. We present our guest with a plate of buschetti. And then I will say, why don't you eat some buschetti? Please, Nick, eat some buschetti. I didn't realize you enjoyed eating worms, Nick.
No, no.
They are worms.
There's worms wiggling around in my plate.
It's worm-like, but it's not actually worm.
We stole that idea from The Lost Boys.
With this film, it's honestly a great horror comedy. It's even a great comedy. Not really comedy, I guess, right? But it's a good horror comedy because it is scary at times. If people are put in jeopardy, you know, people can die. You see murder. It's an R-rated film in which there is the scene. There's some stuff like it was much more graphic. I remember seeing an interview not too long ago with Kiefer Sutherland where he said like there's a part that gets the campfire scene. It gets freaking crazy and gory and graphic, you know. So I don't think we'll ever see that. There was also supposed to be a sequel. There was a scene shot where at the end where what's Kiefer's name? I don't even remember his freaking name currently right now. It's like I've been having memory issues lately for some reason. Christ, what the hell's his name? Where is it? Kiefer? David. Oh shit. David, at the end, you know how he gets stabbed and you hear that cool little of the Cry Little Sister part, like, it's like, and you see like the tear come down his eye or some shit like that. I don't know. He dies. Well, he doesn't die because at the end of the movie, there's a scene where he gets back to his lair that was supposed to lead into a sequel, but it never happened. But I thought to celebrate Joe Schumacher's, you know, career in directing, because there is a lot of films that Joe Schumacher has done from the end of the 80s to the beginning of the 90s. He did Flatliners in 1990. Don't watch the freaking reboot, remake, whatever. Garbage. Watch the original. Flatliners, like I said, St. Elmo's Fire, DC Cab. I used to see that all the time when I was a little kid. They showed that on HBO, and I haven't seen it as an adult, but I hear it's like a horrible garbage movie. But I mean, I liked it as a kid. I mean, Mr. T was in it, so why not? What isn't there to like? There's also a Falling Down with Michael Douglas. HBO days, when I was a kid again, Cinemax, they would show that movie every freaking goddamn day. Like, and I loved it. I would watch it because I'm like, yeah, get your burger, man. You should look like a burger, you know? So I love that movie. I mean, of course, Batman Forever. He, you know, a lot of people give him hate for the... All right, look, Batman and Robin, go ahead, give him hate. But Batman Forever, honestly, is not a bad movie. And when it comes to Batman Forever, he captured the campiness perfectly from the Batman 66 with Adam West. I mean, it fits perfectly. Like, and plus, it wasn't necessarily his fault. Like, if you're going to put any blame... Honestly, blame the studio, because it was the studio that had an issue with Burton on Batman Returns. It was too dark. They're like, great, this movie's all dark. How are we supposed to sell toys? You know, they had those cups at McDonald's and stuff, and it was the companies. They're complaining. They're like, dude, this isn't even a kid's movie. How are we supposed to promote this when you got this freaking dark-ass movie? So by the third film, you know, all he did was produce, but Burton was out, and then they brought in Schumacher. By the fourth film, they want all their focus was make a movie so we could sell toys. That's what toys. So that's why Batman and Robin It's just garbage 100%. Batman Forever is actually a good film. You also got A Time to Kill with one of the greatest lines in there with Sam Jackson. I mean, Sam Jackson has a lot of quotable lines, but when it comes to that film...
Well, what do you think should happen to them? What would be a fair sentence?
Objection,
do you think they deserve to die, Mr. Haley? Answer the question.
Carly, don't answer that question.
Die? Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
He has all these other movies. Oh, 8mm with Nick Cage. I don't know if you guys have ever seen 8mm. The movie's a pretty effed up movie, but it's fucking good. I love it. I think it's a great film. I like how, like, I said effed up movie, and then right afterwards, I actually say the F word. So I stopped myself from cursing, and then I cursed. So I don't know. I was stupid. And with this film, there's also The Client. I'm on that movie. Was a huge film. I remember freaking everybody at the time that I knew, like, all the adults were like, oh, The Client's a good movie. Even my parents rented and watched it. You know, with Susan Sarandon, Tommy Lee Jones. And that movie, I remember seeing it on TV, too. I watched it. Like, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. But that was good. So, yeah. So, for us, for 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast, we've did the only film that we've done so far of, you know, Joe Schumacher has been The Lost Boys. It was originally uploaded November 18, 2014. Now, this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to upload the part of where we talk about the movie The Lost Boys. There is a lot before that. If you want to go check out the episode, it is episode 30. So this is episode 30. And in the beginning, you know, we talk about this like cool little convention we went to. We saw some Roddy Piper. We saw some wrestlers there. We also do like this cool little video game review of one of my favorite video games of the 80s. And we also mention how we were snubbed by Mayor Gordy Wilson, the actual actor who plays him from Back to the Future. The one who's like, I like the sound of that guy. So you could check that out if you want to listen to the full episode. But for this episode, I just want to, as you know, to pay tribute to Joe Schumacher, I wanted to upload our Lost Boys episode. So this is what this episode is going to be. Now, since The Lost Boys was the only film we did with, you know, that was directed by Joe Schumacher, I'm actually going to send you to another podcast because, well, just to point out, we're doing a Jim Carrey month, but I'm letting you know right now, we are not doing Batman Forever. But there is this podcast called Ruining Our Childhood. Friends of the show, they did this amazing episode for Batman Forever. And that episode, honestly, is funny. Like, I mean, there's this one part that had me laughing hard. They talk about Alfred and Robin and when they're doing the laundry and all of that. And damn, I was in the car just fucking rolling, like laughing my ass off. So if you want to listen to an episode, it's not a tribute because they recorded long ago, but if you're in the mood to listen to episodes that are related to, you know, Joe Schumacher, go check out their episode. I think it's episode either 15 or 25. I don't remember. But it's Batman Forever. So if you go Ruining Our Childhood, just scroll down, you'll see it. Batman Forever. So check out their episode. It's really funny. And, you know, also check out their show. I love their show. There's one of my favorite podcasts right now, so check them out. But if you want to listen to Batman Forever, do that episode. But here, this episode right now, we're going to be doing The Lost Boys. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. It's actually features. It's not going to be, you know, me and Freddie. For those of you who are new and haven't jumped to old episodes, this actually features Max. It's the second time he was actually on the show. So Max is no longer a part of the show. Now it's Freddie. I've had a roster of people leaving this show, like, left and right. So I'm honestly the only remaining person on this show. But if you're ever wondering as to, like, what the hell happened, like, why is everybody gone? I mean, you could check out the whole history of the podcast, episode 111, Behind the Podcast. I basically point out the whole history of the show and also as to why, you know, my past co-host Max is no longer a part of the show. It's pretty crazy episode. So yeah, so if you want to know why, like, it's like, hey, it's like, why is it that when I listen to the old episodes, it's like I keep hearing different voices, like, where are all these people? Well, check out that episode 111 if you want to know, or you could read about it at our website. You know, visit our website, that's brothersbearnetwork.com. We got a lot of cool stuff. We got photos, we got the little bios of each, you know, host. We also got all the other shows out there, pictures, so check it out. So make sure to like, subscribe us on any of the, you know, apps that you use to listen to us. Please leave us reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. That would help us a lot. But yeah, so as of now, ladies and gentlemen, check out our special tribute episode to Joe Schumacher. Episode, well, this is just a bonus episode. So yeah, it's episode, oh damn, I was about to burp. It's the Lost Boys. This is a god a weird ass tribute. But anyways, all right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Enjoy the Lost Boys. Lost Boys, and he's like, all right, I'm down. So this week's movie is 1987, directed by Joe Schumacher, Lost Boy. Or Lost Boys. Why did I say Lost Boy? Hey, dog, Lost Boy.
You might have a boy on your mind or something. I'm not going to judge.
Or maybe it's a Yellow Ranger.
Maybe. Oh, I didn't tell my story.
All right, tell your story.
I have to tell my story. So at Frank and Sons, okay, this is, you know, I bought some comics. I got my Bubsy game, and I saw Roddy Piper. All awesome. Hung out with Sanch. Best part was not even all that. The best part was this. All right, so we go to the bathroom, and not we. I'm going to the bathroom. Wait in line to go to the bathroom. And because it was kind of like a mini con, there's people in cosplay. So at first I walk, and it's a small bathroom. So at first I see, you know, this person with long hair in a yellow Power Rangers, like original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So immediately I'm like, yellow, long hair. I think it's a girl in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom. So automatically I get confused. I'm like, what the heck is going on? So then it's a guy. He turns around and he's getting like his outfit on and cosplay. And he turns to the guy around him, and this guy is this big machismo, this Mexican dude with a big old beard, and he had a Harley Davidson shirt, tattoos everywhere. He looked like a real tough guy. And so the Power Ranger...
Like a biker dude?
Yeah, totally.
So basically someone out of Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
All right.
But Mexican.
Or one of the guys from the bar in Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So
with the thong!
Well, the Power Ranger, who I thought was a girl, turns around and goes to this guy and says, hey, do you mind if you zip me up? Because he couldn't zip her. And, you know, just the contrast of the people. And I'm sitting there, and I'm glorifying everything. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. This is awkward. This is weird. I'm loving. I'm taking it in. And just inside, I'm cracking up. And then the biker guy goes, oh, okay. And, like, zips him up and, like, just walks away real quick. Freaking awesome. That is going to be probably the favorite moment from now until Christmas.
Even if we would have met Goldie Wilson.
Taking a picture with him,
he would have recited the whole lines. It would that it was the bathroom awesome. Yellow Ranger would have still been a highlight.
It was
with
awesome.
With the big gangster chortle.
Oh, man. I'm going to sleep well tonight, knowing that that's in my heart now.
Oh, man. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Side story by Max from the... You know, all right, so let's talk The Lost Boys. Lost Boys, it's a story about a family that they never really mentioned what happened to the father. I'm assuming...
Oh, they got a divorce.
They divorced?
Yeah.
Oh, that, I thought...
Because the grandpa says to his daughter, he goes, you're the only woman that I know that hasn't, you know, that... I forget the actual words, but he says, basically, you're the only woman that I know that didn't benefit from having a divorce.
Oh yeah. Okay, there you go. So it's a divorced family. They're obviously they're on tough times because she doesn't have a job. So they move out to the fake city of Santa Carla, California, which Santa Cruz was the actual location used for the filming. But they move out with the older brother Michael and younger brother Sam and the mom who is Lucy. They travel out to visit their grandfather. And they, you know, they're out there, and then they come across some eccentric teenagers dressed all hardcore punker, new wave-ish 80s goth. And, yeah, they end up being vampires. And basically the whole thing is Sam is trying to save, because in all reality, it's Sam who's trying to save his family. Because Michael's the one that's being turned into a vampire. The mom is just being seduced by the head vampire. She's being glamored. And so Sam is the only one who's like, you know, because Grandpa's, you know, out with the widow Miss Johnson, you know, getting his, you know, his Johnson on or whatever, you know, I don't know. And so, yeah, so all in all, you know, Sam is there with the Frog Brothers and
with the assistant of two guys that he meets at a local comic shop down at the boardwalk, in which that boardwalk is really lively at night, man. yeah, so the story of all these guys, you know, and the Michael's turning into a vampire. Sam comes in with the Frog Brothers, saves the day. You know, they fight all the vampires, and, you know, all in all, great film, awesomeness, you know.
Dude, we got to mention who's in this movie.
Well, of course. Yeah, so that's why, I mean.
I'm just so excited. I love this movie.
Yeah, because of the plot. It's like, all right, directed by Joel Schumacher. For those of you, if that sounds familiar, he directed the worst of the worst when it came to the Batman films.
Let's kick some ice. Chill. I can just go on and on.
The worst of the Batman movies. So, yeah, so.
The nipple Batman.
That's yes, nipple Batman. Yeah. It's basically, as Kevin Smith put it, a 90-minute gay joke. So, yeah, it was directed by Joel Schumacher, produced by Richard Donner, in which Richard Donner was originally scheduled to direct the film, but instead, with something contractual going on and behind the scenes, he ended up having he went and directed Lethal Weapon. So then he found Joel Schumacher. The thing was, is that with this movie, oh well, you know what, let me just finish going down the list. It stars, obviously, the Coreys. You have Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, first time on screen together, and after that they would go on to do License to Drive, Dream of
Two Liberty. Coreys.
Yeah, the two Coreys, because we already did License to Drive, so you could hear that episode. You know, you also had Jason Patrick, Kiefer Sutherland, Diane Weist. You also had
Edward Herman.
Huh?
Edward Herman.
Yeah, Edward Herman. Oh, and we had one half of Bill and Ted. Huh? Oh, that was a weak guitar, dude. What was that, y'all? Wee.
It's only half of it, so it couldn't be the full on.
Yeah. But even then, if it's just one guy wailing, it's still like.
Can I take that back? Can you not add this in?
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. No, you can
add it. Well, Alex Winter was the other guy. Oh, man. That's the. I mean, I think we did back Bill and Ted already, but I don't know. Did we do Bill and Ted? But that would have been. All right. So, yeah. So there you have it. Okay. You know what? I've talked some. Go for it. Jump in.
All right. So something that I want to start doing for these movie reviews is having my top five useless but interesting facts.
Ooh,
nice. Can we do it? All right. So let's do this. All right. So. And then I'll give you my, like, kind of thoughts. But I just want to get this out of the way.
Yeah, the facts.
So, okay. So
the facts with Max.
The first one is both Corey Feldman, and who plays Edward Frog, and Bernard Hughes, who plays Grandpa, share the same birthday, July 16th.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is useless.
You share that at a cocktail party, you know? All right.
Imagine I'm at a party, like, all like, just like, hey, you know Corey Haim and the grandpa from Lost Boys? Like, yeah, they share the same birthday. They're like, what? Okay.
But what's awesome is probably nobody's even talking about, you know, Lost Boys or anything. Yeah. They're like, 24. Oh, 24, Kiefer Sutherland. It's Kiefer Sutherland also, you know. Anyways.
They're like, man, have you heard about this ISIS that's going on, man? These guys are, these terrorists. I'm like, yeah, you know what, Corey, you know, Feldman.
Oh, ISIS. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger did a bunch of ice, you know, puns, and he was in a movie, and then he
that's directed by Joe Schumacher, who... directed Lost Boys, who starred, you know, an old guy that played Grandpa, and was
exactly
it Corey Haim or Corey Feldman?
This is how you get uninvited to the next topic. Anyways, okay, like, so hey, the next fact, the next fact is the movie, as Sanch put it lovely, was filmed in Santa Cruz, which I've actually been to Santa Cruz. Super cool, kind of hippie.
Is the boardwalk still there?
Yeah, it's kind of rundown-ish, but it's still cool. I mean, it's still the same.
Go on.
So, in Spanish, Santa Cruz means Holy Cross, which is an interesting connection, given that this is a vampire movie. All right. So, here's my third one. The characters in this movie say the name Michael. 118 times.
Damn!
Yeah. That's worth putting in your brain for long term.
And it's like, you know how like they do that with like, for instance, like Scarface, they have like how many times he said the F word. Like there's a bunch of movies that do that. Like they how many times they say certain words.
Counted Michael.
Yeah.
which poor soul was this with a notepad and like writing it down?
And they do say it a lot. Seven,
yeah.
I mean, you hear it, like the guys go, Michael, you know. Yeah. He's always your dumb mom. Yeah.
All right. This is actually kind of interesting. So, Keith Sutherland, who plays David, who's kind of like the main vampire guy, he wears gloves in the movie because during behind the scenes, during, you know, when he wasn't on screen, they have dirt bikes, and he fell off the bikes, and he broke his arm. So because they had to cover up his cast, he wore gloves.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There's a lot of movies that have done that.
Yeah.
Most famously, the most people know because they actually show it, is Rumble in the Bronx, where he jumps off, hurts his ankle, and then he has, like, the spray-painted, like, sock over his cast. You know, and that's cool. I honestly cannot think of other movies right now. I know we did one. We talked about a certain movie where they were covered. Well, actually,
Terminator 1?
Yeah,
she screws up her ankle, and she, like, can barely walk, and most of the movie is walking, or running, running from, you know, the Terminator, so they actually had to do most of the running scenes at the very end, because she screwed up her ankle, like, I think, like, the first month of filming. Yeah.
And sometimes they do stuff like that to hide it, like, when we did Popeye, we talked about it, that they weren't ready with his prosthetic, though, like, for his arms. So that's why in the beginning of the movie, he has this big old trench coat. Because his arms aren't ready for the... So when you're watching it, it's because they're purposely doing it to hide it. Yeah, so there's always movies like that. With The Lost Boys, I mean, all in all, like, this movie is...
Oh, dude, I got one more fact.
Oh, okay, go for it. I didn't know.
Last one. This is interesting. You'll probably want to tag along this. So, originally, when this movie was first written... they wanted to have a Goonie type, like, 5th and 6th grade kid vampires.
Yeah.
And with the Frog Brothers being, like, chubby 8-year-old Cub Scouts. And then Star, who's the love interest of Michael, was actually going to be a boy instead of a love interest. And then the reason why they kind of changed this was because Joel Schumacher hated the idea and told the producers he would only sign on if he could make them teenagers so they could be sexier and more interesting.
See, and with that, it's like, the reason why, you could all, like, take this all, like, it all harkens back to Goonies. Because, see, with Goonies, Richard Donner directed it. Mm-hmm. It was Steven Spielberg produced, but it was a story by Spielberg. So he got Richard Donner to direct it. So since Goonies was a massive hit in 85, they felt like he fit best for the role to direct another movie with a bunch of kids, you know, and it was gonna be basically almost like the Goonies. And in all reality, even though, like, all right, I guess Schumacher, when he came on board, because like I said earlier, Donner couldn't direct. He ended up directing Lethal Weapon, in which that movie ended up being huge. Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson. He was just like, you know, Danny Glover, I'm too old for this, you know.
And, we should do that movie.
Oh yeah, of course, it's a great action movie. But it left Joe Schumacher. Joe Schumacher, of course, comes in. And, you know, he's like, I don't want to do a kid's movie. I want to make him sexy. If you watch the DVD extras, he has an interview. And he starts talking about it. Like, he thought, like, it would be better if we made him teenagers. Made him, like, more, like, sexy, you know. And, I mean, it worked. It honestly worked. But I would have loved to see the original idea behind the movie. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, you have kids who are vampires. And then you have, like... The ones who fight, who help fight, are Cub Scouts. Like, you would think, out of all of them, the most wisest ones to fight them are Cub Scouts. Like, I would love to still see this movie get made one day. And it will never happen, but it would still be nice to see, you know, the Lost Boys the way they intended to make it. And the Lost Boys all comes from Peter Pan. This whole movie, especially the original script, everything came... from Peter Pan. Like, all the characters were named after the characters from Peter Pan. The mom's name was Wendy. Like,
Nanook. Huh? Nanook the dog is supposed to be Nana.
Yeah, Nana the dog. That's the only thing they kept, really, from the original script.
Yeah.
Was Nanook the dog. That was one of the main things. Other than that, a lot of the characters, they changed, obviously made them adults. But, I mean, I would love to see this movie. And the thing is, it's like, all right, in this film, you know, like, the premise is, there's the head vampire, the main head vampire, just, I guess, he wants to build a family. That's all he's trying to do.
Are you doing spoilers right now?
We're getting to the point. All I mean, right. No. I mean, if the movie's freaking 87, you know,
spoilers. If you haven't watched it by now,
we spoil it, but and more, it's love for the film, right. you know. But he's trying to do is build a family. That's all he wants to do. So he feels that if he can get Michael and Sam, the mom will automatically come together, and it would, you know, it's one of my favorite lines from the movies. I mean, there's a good amount of like one liners, but this is one of my favorites where he's like. When he's like, you know, if I knew I could get, you know, Michael and Sam, you know, I knew you would come along. He's like, my boys and your boys. Like, you know, like one big happy family. And he's like, great, the blood-sucking Brady Bunch, you know. And it's a funny line. Growing up as a kid, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, that's a great line, you know. And that's all he wants to do. But since Michael hasn't killed, in which this movie, there's a lot of crap that doesn't make sense, you know. How the hell does Michael... how does anybody turn into a vampire just by drinking blood?
There's a lot of folklore. The mythology is not...
They mess with... I mean, they're like, they have the holy water.
That's not its strongest point.
But, yeah.
Garlic doesn't affect them. You know,
garlic don't work!
There's like a bunch of stuff that, like, you know, they just throw in there and... It's
fun.
There's a lot to kill them with. You can stab them. You can throw holy water on them. You know, it's like in the Lost Boy mythology. Like, you can probably throw jam at them. And
yeah, because like that's the thing is like, how is it that Michael's turning into a vampire just because he's hanging out with them and drinking blood? Like, that makes no sense. Like, why would he turn into a vampire just by drinking blood? Because when they come over, he's like, here, drink it. And then that's when Star's like, don't drink it, Michael. It's blood. He's like, yeah, right. Because they already F with them so much with the rice being maggots, the noodles being worms, you know, all this and that. So the last time, they're like, don't, it's blood. And he's like, hey, yeah, blood. And he drinks it. Like, why would that, unless that is, but then again, in the end of the movie, right before he's like, Michael, stop fighting me, you know, join us. And he's like, my blood's already in you. So was David drinking his own blood in that bottle?
I thought of the exact same thing. It doesn't make sense because it should be Max's character. That should his blood be since he's the main vampire. But then, yeah, that whole scene doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, how would vampire, like, it doesn't make, I don't know, I don't get it. Because it's just like, the vampire blood, like, you're drinking...
Fuses with your blood, and I don't know.
I guess, but why would they be drinking their own blood? It does nothing for them. I mean, that's why they're trying to create a new mythology here. To me, it does not make any sense, but, I mean, well. But all I know is that Michael, until he kills, does not turn into a full vampire. So he's a half vampire.
What I will say is they take the whole vampire genre, and they really make it their own. I know that is kind of flawed, but, I mean, you gotta think about before this was going on, you know, this is before Twilight, there was no twinkly, you know, vampires or anything like that, there was no Edward. This was 1987, so at the time, we have, of course, the Bela Lugosi, from the 1931 Dracula, we have, the Hammer films with Christopher Lee as, Dracula, so really, being a vampire was really morbid. Was very depressing because they were supposed to live this life alone and they can never die and they had this hunger and this thirst for blood. But really, the Lost Boys put a twist on it and made it awesome. They actually made it, like, glorify being a vampire. Like, hey, you can never die. You can't really get hurt. You can go out and seduce women and kind of live it up. You know, and especially, I think that was one of the great things about Schumacher making it, having it teenagers, was they had this, like, grand life, you know, and they're just hanging out, and it's just like, you know, we talked about it before, the Peter Pan thing, but I think that's where the movie totally succeeds and makes it memorable, was the twist that they put on vampires. It made it, like, cool.
Well, their tagline really helps the most, because on the poster, it says... Sleep all day, party all night. Never grow old, never die. It's fun to be a vampire.
Yep.
And their poster is iconic. It's an iconic freaking poster. They're all black and white on a red background. Background. What the hell is wrong with me? But, I mean, it's an iconic poster. I've actually seen one with Peter Pan and the Lost Boys and Wendy. It looks freaking cool. Awesome.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. Like I said, this movie, it does put a really, a weirdness to the film. I mean, I like it, but all in all, it's it's a good film, but I guess I'll go down the line of stuff that, because I always take notes in movies, and sometimes, I'll just go down my questions. All right, in the beginning of the movie, when the movie starts, and it almost has that Beetlejuice intro, because with Beetlejuice, it does the Danny Elfman, you hear him, he goes, they do that with this movie. The Warner Brothers logo pops up, and then you hear the, yeah, and then it goes in, and then it cuts awesome. To the boardwalk, and they're on the Ferris wheel, the merry-go-round, and you see the cop. He's like, I thought I told you not to be on there, and then he kicks him out. So at the end, when they're walking, they chase them down. Right in the beginning, you just know they're flying. I was like, oh, cool, these vampires.
Because it's an aerial shot. That's the only reason why it's
flying. Yeah, and he runs, and then he gets to his car. He gets to his car in plenty of time, but he spends a good 40 seconds pulling on the doorknob. What a moron! Even as a kid, it used to bug me, because it's like, why is he trying to open his door without his keys? Like, he's so stupid. Like, that's why he got murdered. Because he freaking... But then again...
I thought he was just obese and, just... He couldn't run fast enough.
No, he ran fast enough because he got to his door. But he kept just pulling on it. But then again, if he would have gotten in his car and locked the door, they would have probably just ripped off the top. Oh, yeah. Because later on in the movie, it's exactly what they do. They're in the car and they rip off the top. So the vampires, they're strong enough, also, too... the intro, when they get there, they're driving, and then they're like, oh, Santa Carla. And right when Michael turns around and says the murder capital of the world, and then right there, ding, 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 ding. People are strange. It's great, so okay. Freaking cover by Echo and the Bunnymen. That was just love.
It's a great soundtrack.
Oh, hell yeah.
I actually have it on vinyl.
You do?
Yeah, I spent about... a year and a half looking for it, and I finally found it.
Yeah, I had it on CD, but I don't know what I did with it. It's gone somewhere. I bought it because I'll get into the soundtrack later, but I don't know what happened to it. Also, too, going back to last week's episode about fear of zombies and everything, I hated the line when Sam goes, Grandpa, is it true that Santa Carla is the murder capital of the world? And he goes, put it this way. If all the corpses were to stand up all at once, we'd have one hell of a population problem.
Right.
That used to scare me, dude. As a kid, hearing that, the whole zombie thing, that my fear, all I pictured was like, damn, that's a lot of zombies. That used to scare me. Just that line. This movie never scared me, but that stupid line. Also, too, come on. We can't go out without bringing up the sexy sax man.
Dude, oh my gosh, it's so random. He's like a... it's a bonfire, first of all. The guy's a combination of Shawn Michaels and the Ultimate Warrior. If they had a kid, and then it's like, bam. He's like a saxophone, buff. He's got no shirt. He's got a ponytail. That would be an awesome cosplay at a...
Oh, dude. If I were buff, seriously, if I were fit and...
With the
because he has wrestling pants too.
He's
all out.
He's
like
got chains and a ponytail.
Yeah, dude. And I would walk around with the saxophone and be like, "In the cave, 40 days, light my way. I still believe. I love that song. I remember once, dude, long ago, I was driving in my car and I put on that song and I put the soundtrack and then this song comes on. I'm all like rocking out to it because I like it. And then I have Allie's in the car with me, and she's all like, "It's like, what is this?" And then I'm like, "Oh, it's from the soundtrack, Lost Boy." She's like, "This sucks." And then like it just deflated me because I thought she was gonna be like, "Oh, who's this? This is awesome." And it just made me sad.
That song's not good.
I like it, dude. It's so cheesy, but like good. Like I don't know, I like it with the saxophone and the keyboard. Ding 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 ding. That sounded like a rooster.
That guy's awesome.
Ah, stupid.
We should make 88 miles per hour t-shirts and have that guy on the back.
Bad, dude. Yeah, just put that. Or like have you, like me or you superimposed on the guy being like that.
Awesome. Let's do it. That's happening.
I still believe.
That's happening.
Also, too, in the beginning, when the mom is, they're all walking the boardwalk. At that scene, that same time, the mom is trying to find a job. She's walking about. And she comes across a kid right in front of Max's store. And Max is just watching her the whole time. And she brings him in. He's like, "Oh, I'm trying to find the mother." And the mother, "Oh, where are you? I found you." He's like, "Oh, don't worry. He was here." And he gives him a lollipop. It always made me wonder, did Max plant that kid? Like, did Max... Because, like, they don't never show that. But did Max glamour the mom to that little boy? So that the mom would wander off, the boy would be... Because he was looking for someone good-natured. Because right. He even said that. He's like, "Oh, you're very good-natured." And also, too, the way she treated his boys. Because they came in,
right.
And he looks at him, he's like, "I thought I told you not to come in here." And then they leave, and she's like, "Oh, don't give him a hard time. We were once teenagers."
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh." And I'm wondering if he was... Because he was always... You know, that's his right. goal, to
well,
find that.
It would have been... It would have made more sense if they would have had Laddie... The vampire, the kid vampire, and that was that. Then that would be like genius. So pretty much, we should have written the movie.
Yeah,
be genius.
That would have made more sense if it was Laddie there, you know. And then later, you come to find out, like, "Oh, that was Laddie."
Right.
But yeah, because I always wondered about that. All right, that makes sense. Okay, let's see.
So I know you mentioned it, but I mean, we got to go through one of these one-liners because there's so many good ones.
Oh yeah, okay.
So like actually. I've watched this like movie so many times, but this last time I watched it, I found Sam the funniest. And like just his one line, like I guess it just, I don't know, it spoke to me more. But like when he says, "Mike, you know what it means when there's no TV? There's no MTV." Totally 80s right there. Or then when they go to Mike's like taking Sam and they're going to that bonfire where the sexy sax man is, and then he goes, "Come on," he goes, and Sam goes, "I'm at the mercy of your sex glands, bud." Like, you know, just awesome one-liners. And then at the very end,
go for it. No, I'll
have it. And then, well, I have two. So he goes, don't kill me, Mike. I'm basically a good kid. Don't kill me." And then the other one's, "We nailed the one that looked like Twisted Sister."
I like that.
That one's
because that's the one when they're all before Laddie comes in, he pops up, and they're like, "The attack of Eddie Munster." Yeah. I like that part. Yeah. No, but my favorite from him, out of all, he has good one-liners, but one of them that I really dig, I know I mentioned one earlier, but this one I also dig a lot, is when... he shoots the arrow. He's
right.
Like, "You miss, sucker." And then he shoots him and he goes back. You hear like the rock music, right. Whatever. I don't know what. And then he goes, "Whoa, death by stereo."
Right.
I love that one, you know. But one of the lines I think that was stupid and cheesy is like, he's like, "Burn rubber does not mean warp speed." I'm like, that's stupid, dude. Yeah, like, that was dumb. You almost just killed everybody. Like, the movie would have ended right there. Like, ah! I don't know. That, But yeah, they do have some good lines. I love that you know, comics weren't really anything, and comics, like, showing a comic book store, him being a comic nerd, that was awesome. That's so far two 80s movies that we have done where there's a character who loves comics. The last one was Adventures in Babysitting, the little sister. She was all into Thor. She was a huge Marvel girl. And then you had Sam here who knew a lot about DC. He was going in there. He's like, all right, you can't have... Superman 500 with, or 13, whatever, 13 or 14. He's, and then, no, he's trying to look for Batman number 13. Like, it's a pretty serious comic. And he's like, there's only five in existence. Four in existence. I'm trying to find the other three or something, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, where are you? From Krypton. You know, that's the one thing I hate. Corey Feldman, it's like, even though he's trying to have like a tough guy,
his
like,
voice is so stupid.
It stayed like that always. Like, that's how he talks all the time in movies. That's why he's a bad actor, because he always does that voice like that. I don't know, but like, you know, in that scene when they're talking, he's like, here, you might need this. Like, I don't read horror comics. He's like, well, you might like this one. You know, he's like, I don't like horror comics. So I was trying to give him those comics. At that moment, you see these characters right outside, and they grab some comics and take off running. They're like a group of guys and like two girls, and they take off running. And these two guys chase them down. What are you going to do if they catch them? You know, beat them up or what? And you always keep the 50 Cent comics by the door. Who cares? They just took 50 Cent. They took $2 worth of comic. I'm not going to go get my butt kicked over $2. You know, where's my $2?
Was watching the store after.
Yeah, exactly. That Sam could have planted those guys. He's like, yes, Batman number 18, number 20, and he could have taken off. And then you got freaking John Lennon and Yoko Ono sleeping right there. You know, they're not watching the store. They're asleep. And they're there every day. When he goes into the comic the next day, they're always there. When he calls me, he's like, help me, my brother, he's a vampire. He's like, all right, does he, you know, is he flying? You know, stake him in the heart. And they're right there. Again, they're sleeping. They're always sleeping there. It's pretty cool. But come on, as a guy, you know, like, it made no sense to me. But this was Schumacher's intention. But as in the movie, you're watching it and you question, like, oh, is Sam supposed to be gay? Because when you look at his wall, he has a picture of Rob Lowe half shirt on the wall, like all sexy. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I'm like, why does he have, even when I was young, I'm like, wouldn't he have, like, girls? Like, I'm maybe he likes boys, whatever. But that was Schumacher, because he directed, I think, St. Elmo's Fire, and Rob Lowe was in it. So, that's why he's like, it was just planted, but still, it made Sam, you know. Also, too, was Michael flying? Remember when he's hanging from the train tracks? And then he falls. Right. Does he fly at that moment?
I think he has to, right?
But why would he fly, though? It's like the first night. See, that again doesn't make any freaking sense, you know. And this, how many were, I don't know if this happened to you many times growing up, you know, when I was, you know, growing up living at home, this and that, my parents always making sure I was doing chores, this and that, you know. They hated when I would be in bed, and they would call me and be like, were you sleeping? I'm like, no, I was up, but I'm literally in bed, just woke up. And I love that scene, because when he's like, Michael, wake up, you know, it's mom. And then he's like, and she asked him, are you still in bed? He's like, nope, I'm up. You know, and he's like, he flat out lied. And I used to do that all the time. Like, my parents would call me, and I would just be like, you know.
You know what, when you talk about, like, plot, like, plot holes and stuff, is after, so they go in, and they kill,
Marco?
Like, no. So, when they go in, and they kill,
the head vampire?
No, Alex Winter's character.
Yeah, Marco.
So, yeah,
you Marco. Killed Marco!
Right, Marco. I didn't know. I thought you said Michael.
No.
Marco, they stabbed Marco, and then they wake up the vampires, but they can't go out because it's daylight.
Yeah.
Why do they go to the house? They know that the vampires, they know where they were staying.
They live. Michael live.
Why would they go back to the house? Wouldn't they just let, like, take off somewhere, lay low, and then wait for the next day so they can do the exact same thing again, since they have to go to sleep because they don't have coffins, so they can't move the coffins, so they're in a cave. Like, why would you go back?
Yeah, what the hell? You're right. Why would they go back? And they even have the cliche scene of when they he's like, the dog, what's the dog's
Nanook.
Name? Nanook. Yeah, he's like, Nanook! And he runs out there. He's like, Sam, come back! And they go, he's like, hurry up, they're coming! And he's like, they're coming! And then Sam falls.
Yeah, slips. And, but it's terrible. Like, it's so blatant. And he slips.
And it's like, why? Oh, man. I mean, they made it. But you're right. I never thought of that. It's never occurred to me. They don't know their whereabouts. They ain't got GPS vampire-ness, you know? Like, it's like, okay. He's like, damn it, we almost got them. All right, where do we go? Let's go hide over here.
Yeah, 2 hours. They say we have 2 hours till sunset. So let's go home where they know where we live.
Yeah, so stupid. And then, you know, it's funny because when I was a kid and till this day, I was like, I would never be able to fend off vampires because in the movie, they're like, all right, we got to go get holy water. And then it's a funny scene where they go inside and it looks like it's a baptism. It looks like, right?
Yeah,
it's a baptism. And then there's like these big, and they pour their canteens in there and they're like looking at them. And then when they run out, he gives them the fist like, yeah, right on, like rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I always used to think like, I could never do that because any of the ones, any of the Catholic churches I've been to in my life, there are always little gold bowls. Like, there's right. no way. Like, and then how the hell is that filling the tub? That is not enough water to fill a tub unless the only logical thing is they filled it with water and then mixed it with holy water. But again, why would the...
We're not going to talk about the sequels, are we? Because those are
terrible. No, hell no. We're not getting into the
sequels.
We'll talk about the real sequel.
He becomes a priest, doesn't he? And then he, like, blesses his own water.
Who?
Corey Feldman's character.
He becomes a priest?
Edgar, like, an online priest? So that he can bless water?
Really? I don't remember that.
Have you seen them?
I mean, I saw the second one, but I don't even remember.
I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken. But I think that's Edgar does it. Or one of them, Alan or Edgar. I just remember, like, he blesses them. And yeah.
Well, I mean, like with that, like, that's, like, it always made me wonder, like, why when the vampire was in the tub, it was plugged. So why would, like, the water all over the house go nuts. It made no... Like, see, there's a lot of stuff. As much as we love this movie,
we're like favorite knocking movies.
It.
Oh, I love this movie.
And then there's a Boba Fett moment in this movie. All right.
I don't recall.
In Return of the Jedi, when Boba Fett's moment to shine, he flies out, gets shot, crashes, and dies. Falls into the Sarlacc pit, right? Like, you're like, really? This is his moment and that was it?
He's still alive, dude.
You know, oh, yeah. You know, he's coming out in the seventh. But Michael had a Boba Fett moment. Because he's like, but I still want you, Lucy. And then he shows the face and everyone, like, freaks out. He's like, I didn't invite you this time, Max. And he does nothing. He literally just grabs him and throws him up. It's like, really? That was your whole fight scene? Like, I didn't invite you this time, Max. And that's it. He just grabs him and throws him up. Nothing happens. You know, I don't know. It's just like there was like a lot of stuff, but there were awesome moments. One of my favorite moments in the movie. That's just, and it's not a line or anything, but because it's just cinematically, it looks great. I know it was an accident because it was probably the dry eyes. But there's the scene when he's trying to get Sam, and he gets burned.
Right.
David gets burned, and at that point. What I love is he looks directly at the camera, breaks the fourth wall, looks at the audience.
And the tear.
And then the tear.
Yeah.
And that, he so just kind of smiles. And that, I always like, ever since, I was like, dude, that is eerie, scary, but perfect.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, just a beautiful shot where like, it's like a vampire. And is he like, is he acknowledging, like, is he breaking the fourth wall and looking at us? And like, you know, like, what is that scene? Like, what is he implying in that moment to look at the camera directly? And he kind of laughs a little bit. And then he has that tear, just that tear, rolled down, like that one tear. And I'm like, dude, that was perfect. That's a freaking perfect shot. And that honestly, that's like my favorite shot in the movie is that little thing right there. It's cool.
Yeah.
Because I know it was unexpected. That tear was not planned. And I think it's because of the contact and it just probably, you know, his eyes got watery right there. And then boom, just one tear. Beautiful. I don't know. I mean, all in all, it's a great movie. But at the end, for years, I've heard people debate this stupid thing. And it's not... And I don't know why. In the beginning of the movie, it's like, stay away from the second shelf. That is my shelf. That is all my root beer. And that is all my blah, blah, blah. Grandpa gets home. Well, first, why did Grandpa drive through the house? Did he know they were fighting vampires? See, it's like, was he drunk? And he just happened to crash? Like, how did he know to crash through his own house? No one told him that they were fighting vampires.
I never thought of that.
Right? Because he drove through a freaking house. His own house. Imagine they weren't fighting vampires. Like, he
just right now, just a freaking like car just...
Yeah. Because that's the thing. He drives in and then it explodes and he's kind of like, whoa, what the hell just happened? But did he know? How did he know they would be in the living room? How did he know they weren't just standing right in front?
Well, he almost kills everybody.
He does.
That's funny. I never thought of that.
That's why that scene is like, what was his motive behind that? They don't explain it. They don't be like, like, oh, I know they're in the living room fighting. I'm going to drive through the house. He just does. He was probably drunk. I don't know. But then he gets out of the car. He walks to the fridge. And then he says that awesome line.
Right.
At the end. The final words was that. And he says it. You know, the one thing I couldn't stand about Santa Carla. You know, all the damn vampires. And then they just look at the family. All like just. After massive fighting.
Covered in blood.
And then the door, the light just closes of the fridge. And it goes, ding, ding. And it's, but he takes a drink of root beer. And people always debated this. And it used to drive me crazy. For years, they were saying, he's a vampire.
What?
And he was drinking blood. I'm like, that's not blood. That is his root beer. It's not the, and they're like, no, that's the bottle of blood from earlier. And you could tell kind of by the lighting, like, oh, I guess because it's dark blood. And it's dark, but it. But for years, people would argue that and say it was blood.
And I've never heard that. That's a reach. But they were planning on doing a sequel, not the terrible ones that they did recently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kiefer Sutherland's character, David, he was stabbed, but originally he wasn't supposed to die. And they were going to have the Lost Girls.
Yeah.
Where it was going to be girls... ran by David, and it would have been interesting. I don't remember what happened with production or anything like that, but they had this whole script, and actually it was that scenario where David lives was actually in a, I think, IDW comic book that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, what it was that there was a, it was scripted, never shot. It was in the script at the end of the movie that David will be missing. And it cuts to the final scene. It cuts to him going back to the cave.
Right.
And that's basically where the movie ends. And it's supposed to be a leads up to the sequel where David's still alive. Because like, he's already a full vampire. Right. They don't need the head vampire anymore. No matter what, the rule was, kill the head vampire, all half vampires turn back to life. That's why when the little kid's like, stop! You know, and he runs out and blah blah blah.
Just half vampires, so
only half vampires, not full. See, because that's how they could have went, and that's what the script was basically implying, that you know David's still alive. So then the script, and he was trying to get it made roughly around 1990, and for years, but 1990 was around the time frame when he was trying to make it, and he was trying to do the sequel to Lost Boys, and I know he ended up doing something else at that time, but yeah, and I remember even. The early days of like, or no, it had to be probably the late 90s, maybe early 2000, but I think it was more like the late 90s. I would always get Rolling Stone. And there was an interview with Corey Feldman, and he was talking about that. Yeah, he's been hearing that they've been trying to make the Lost Girls for the longest while. And I remember, oh, bad. That'd be cool with the Lost Girls, but it never happened. And then they made those stupid... You know,
terrible
sequels. You know, and
terrible.
And it's cool that they had the original cast come in, pop up, but still, it sucks. So, all in all, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen The Lost Boys, you know, check it out. It's a great. You know, I know you have a bad taste in your mouth with Joel Schumacher, but this is one of his good ones. You know, Joel Schumacher did a great film. You know, all in all, it's an awesome movie. Yeah. It's 1987, you know, it was a budget of $8.5 million at the time, but it made $32 million in the theaters, considered a hit. This was also the movie set that introduced the drugs to the Coreys, more so Corey Haim, because in the Hollywood true story about his life, this was before he died, he had talked about that. That's how he's introduced to drugs, was on this set, because after when they weren't filming, they were all doing drugs, and he was saying, like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland and all that, and he himself did some drugs, and that's where, you know, he got addicted, and he ended up dying of a drug overdose. But all in all, great movie, check it out. The soundtrack is it's a great one for its time. You know, the soundtrack features NXS, you know, Lou Gramm, you know, there's actually a song with Roger Daltrey, you know, from The Who. Echo and the Bunnymen, we already mentioned them. Tim Capoello, that's the guy that... I still believe 40 days, not my way. I still believe... Well, but the greatest... this is going to be my song of the week, ladies and gentlemen, because I love, love, love this song. And I bought the soundtrack specifically for this song years ago, and I listened to it. And this is one of my favorite songs that come out of a soundtrack from a film. Not even an 80s film, but just a film, aside from the Chipmunk Adventure. And it's Cry Little Sister. You guys know that song, especially with the little girls. You know, I remember originally I had planned to have... like Renata, like sing that part, you know, on the show. We're like, oh, we should do that. But instead, Max will do the little girl part.
That shall not be.
I love this song. It's such like, if you're like, you know, like if you're in the, like, if you're goth, basically, like, cause it was kind of that, you know, just dark, new wave, dark wave, all that stuff. Like, you know, if you're one of those, like, if you were to go to, I don't know, in my area, if you would go to, like, a club called Perversion, like an industrial goth club, you would dig this song, you know? And it sounds like a lot of people assumed it was Sisters of Mercy or Bauhaus, but no, it was Gerard McMahon, Tom G. Mack, I think that's what he was, G. Tom Mack, you know, that's what he went at, it was with a band.
And the movie, or the song's in, like, the movie 8,000 times.
But for me, I never get tired of it. Because it's in the beginning. It's in the right in the beginning for a little bit.
When he drinks the blood.
Then, when they're all like, woo, partying all up. partying all up.
When,
and everything.
When Michael and Star, you know.
Making the love, you know, the sexy time, you know, then they're doing that. And that's when
Why did you clap when you said
I don't know.
Totally unnecessary.
I get it. Because I don't know. Why am I turning Italian for some reason, too?
Move on. We need to move on.
So, yeah, because that's when it goes in. And then as we go, last fire will rise. I love that song, dude. I just, you know, I remember I'll be in the car. Blind boys don't lie. And then it goes, dash and I fall. I wish if I had a band, I would cover this song, dude. I seriously would, dude.
But as the sexy sax man.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's what I would do. Because that was always my goal. That if I were
to
like,
be the sexy sax man.
Hell yeah. Well, that too. But if I had a band, like, and we would perform, I would always dress up like characters from movies. Right. And there was one time I'm like, dude, I would dress up like the sexy sax band one day. Like, you know, I know there's like 80s tribute bands that like do that. They dress up like 80s characters. But I would always do that. And the sexy sax
band. What's that dude's name like credited as? Like,
let's see.
Like, what is, does it just say like sexy?
Tim Capoello.
That's his name in the movie?
Yeah. Also credited as Tim Capoello. I don't know. He's a multi-instrumentalist, composer, and vocalist. He is primarily known as saxophone work surrounding Tina Turner in the 1980s and 90s, as well as his musical performance in the 1987 vampire film, The Lost Boys. He is notable for his muscular physique, his sexual provocative moments during his performances, and his tendency to perform shirtless, with skin oiled, with his hair in a ponytail. Damn, man, look at this guy.
He should put that on his business card.
Oh, look, in popular culture, actor John Hamm portrayed a ponytailed shirtless saxophonist named Sergio in an SNL digital short titled The Curse, which aired on Saturday Night Live. So I guess it's in the skit, Andy Samberg's character is cursed by Sergio, who appears out of nowhere playing the saxophone and inappropriate times. And it's very reminiscent of Capaldo's performances in the film The Lost Boys. So look that up.
Oh, that's funny.
And in the video, of the one of the living from the soundtrack of Mad Max Beyond. So look at that video. So yeah, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So. My song that I'm going to give you guys, once again, is from the soundtrack of The Lost Boys. The song is Cry Little Sister. It's the single song by Gerard McMahon, you know, / G. Tom Mack is the actual band. It's 1987. The genre is very goth rock, dark wave. So that's why I said it's such a goth-like kind of dark song, you know. It's a good song. But the best part is the little kids, because it says... Thou shall not fall. And then it goes. And then at the end, that's when he dies. Remember, it's all. Thou shall not fly. And then it goes. And then he's like kind of moving back and forth. Thou shall not steal. And then after the last one is...
Where are the little girls singing?
I don't know. They never feature them. But I like the guy's voice. Very, like, God. Like, thou shall not fall. You know, it's the sound of, like, the...
Dude, we should make an album. And just have you sing all.
Yeah. As long as they get into the chipmunk.
But you can't sing them like Sanj. You have to sing them...
Like
no, like them. So it's your imitation of the singers.
Oh, dude, we should. We should do the 88 cover track. Like, we need a band. What should we be called? Shirtless Saxophone?
Exactly.
There you go. Down, down, down. All right, cool. All right. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, me and Max had a great time at Santa Carla, you know, on the merry-go-round and the Ferris wheels. But it's time we leave the murder capital of the world, get into the DeLorean, and travel back to the future.
To your brother, hey, yeah. This has been a Brothers Bear Network production.